Today on Compassion Radio.
I think about a particular worship service we were in Isiolo, and there were probably five different tribes represented, and a group of the Maasai were there. And of course, they're known for hunting lions and for their ability to jump. We're in this worship service, and I'm just taken away by all of the languages that I hear that are literally worshiping the Father. As we're in worship, I hear this thumping, thump, thump, thump.
Well, welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Last time, Bram's wife Sandy had a great chat with her guests, Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass, the two incredible women who founded Kenya Believe It Ministries in Kenya, East Africa. They discussed all things missions, and today there's plenty more great insight coming your way. Here's Sandy and her guests with part two of that conversation.
So when you look back to when you first went on the mission field, how different does it look for someone going onto the mission field now as opposed to when you first went?
Most of the missionaries that we know that are older than us that have been on the field for 25, 30, 40 years. And then when we came in, you know, they want you to make a minimum of like a 5 to 7 year commitment. Well, now a lot of organizations are saying if we can get a 6 month commitment.
Oh, my goodness.
Long term is seen as 2 years for some. The resilience and the longevity of cross-culture workers has been shortened.
Why do you think that is?
Part of it is life experience and exposure. Like with us, we did quite a few short-term missions before serving long-term. And a lot of the younger missionaries, cross-culture workers that we're meeting now have a heart for missions, but many of them have never served cross-culturally. And so there's a romantic idea of what it's going to look like on the mission field. And they get there, and a lot of times it's just not that. Or thinking they're prepared, and then the first thing that they bump up against, they realize, oh my goodness, maybe I wasn't so prepared. One of the things that we talk about a lot also is it seems that there's a lack of a theology of suffering. We talk about the cross.
Right.
We know that you can't have the resurrection or salvation without suffering on the cross. But when it comes to personal suffering and a personal definition and understanding of what theology of suffering is, there's just not one.
Right.
For so many of the individuals that we're coming in contact with. So the moment something is hard, or sometimes if it's a perception of being hard or uncomfortable, then it's like, no, I don't think I want to do that.
So how do you teach that then? I mean, you know, how does that become a practicum that you can have in a classroom or that you can even teach someone?
Right. We're still learning about that. The biggest way is through the Word of God and walking through scriptures and doing lessons as it relates to Christ and his life and the suffering that he experienced and getting them to really understand what the cross was all about. That it wasn't, you know, two pieces of wood that we sanded and nailed together.
Right.
And what he actually went through on the cross. Those are conversations that we're continuing to have.
That's a real Holy Spirit work.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And that's where the heart work comes in. We can share out of our personal experience. We can share out of scripture and do the Bible study, but you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that really has to make it real to them and then make them want to stay or stick to it once they get to the place where they feel they've been called to.
Yeah. I think the other thing that works against that or creates this tension of resiliency is just the nature of the culture that we live in now. Everything is so fast and readily available.
Right.
There's nothing around us that pushes us to wait. That's not the posture of the culture that we live in. And so creating opportunities or even practices where it pushes that muscle a little bit of having to wait, teaching, helping individuals to understand their own spiritual disciplines or how they are uniquely made, and teaching them to push into those areas where they're actually really waiting and abiding in Christ, which is totally countercultural.
Right.
And so creating opportunities for individuals to practice their spiritual disciplines, I think also helps with pushing into that waiting, because that's the challenge. I think that's a lot of the root of why we don't have longevity in service as much. Mm-hmm. It's the long haul. It's not a quick fix. It's sitting, it's waiting, it's sitting with, it's waiting for breakthroughs, it's learning people, it's learning the culture, and that takes time.
Well, I think part of it is also learning to lean into the suffering of others and not shying away from it. Because when you begin to see people who are in places of great sorrow or danger in some areas of the world that where there are lots of refugees coming out of, or the marginalized, even here in the States, you're dealing with refugees where you guys are as well. It's easy for us to look at that and say, oh, that's really terrible. But then we still go back to our comfortable place and not really give ourselves permission to sit in that place of sorrow or sit in that place of suffering with another person and just be there without comparing it to my own suffering or letting them tell their story and sitting there in their story. And that's a tough place to go to, because we want to fix things. We want to make things right. That's not always possible. Even on the mission field, when you go and you do, it's not always possible to fix everything that you see that's wrong.
Yeah.
Having to learn that real spirit of empathy and sitting in another person's story takes a lot of discipline.
It really does. I often share with people a phrase that describes exactly what you're talking about, and that is just asking them to be willing to pause in the pain. Mm-hmm. Just sit in it for a few minutes. We don't want to feel it. We want to push it away. But as you described, when we jump in too quickly and we move, I think oftentimes we don't really see what God can do in those moments because we get in the way.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes the people don't see that we really are listening and really do care about what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And also another piece of that is hospitality, opening your door to allow people to come in with no agenda. We have days here where we open our doors. And so we have, I can tell people, we have more popcorn in the last year and a half, half my entire life, and I love popcorn. So we have popcorn, tea, coffee, and water. And we just have days where set aside where we just have our doors open and we allow people to come. And so we have stations set up where they can draw, where they can paint, where they can do nothing, where they can take a nap or whatever. And giving individuals the freedom to do that, a lot of times what happens is you end up having conversations.
That sounds a little bit like Maisha Pamoja.
Exactly.
I remember.
Yeah.
You got it. Because we found if we just make that space available versus saying, come to the house so we can talk about whatever. And we have opportunities too where we have specific topics. But when you just make the space available for people to come with no agenda, just being hospitable, then they come. And we've actually had people come and then they sit and they're looking around and they're like, what are we going to do? And we're like, we are not going to do anything because this is your time. What do you want to do? And they're just like, what? Like, you meant that? Yeah, it's like it wasn't a trick to get you here.
Ooh, gaining trust in a whole different way.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing what you can see God do when you're willing to live in the margin, you know, not feel space in, but just create that space to see people, to hear people, and just allow conversation to evolve. And you'll be amazed at what even the Lord will speak to you in the moment.
And that's hard to keep quiet sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a real discipline as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is. It's that, about that waiting, pausing.
Awkward, that awkward silence that I absolutely love. And we were doing a training a few weeks ago, and one of the young ladies, we were talking about how beneficial silence can be. And she was just like, oh, man, you really like silence. Because, you know, when we're facilitating the class and we ask the question, and if no one answers in like the first few seconds, I just kind of fold my arms and smile at everyone. It's like, we can wait. And then, and you always have people in the class just like, oh my gosh, the silence is deafening.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Yeah. So I want to ask you too about the time that you're spending there in Clarkston. We hear about Clarkston in the news, what's happening there with the refugee and immigrant community. I see you guys posting about coffee shops and restaurants and book clubs and the different things that you're doing there in Clarkston. What is your time there looking like? How are you reaching into this immigrant community?
Well, the hospitality time is mainly for the students and the staff to give them an opportunity to recharge before mm-hmm. they go out into the community. But one thing that I'm intentional about, one of the reasons why I coffee shop hop, because that's a way for you to meet new people in the community. So I'm always adding to my coffee shop list, because the ones that I specifically seek out are run by refugees that have been here for some time.
Okay.
There are also very specific locations here in Clarkston where refugees hang out. Again, it's just, like Sonny was saying, allowing the margin, making the space. So that's like my workspace.
Mm-hmm.
You end up not getting much work done, but it's a good way to get to know individuals. And then just making yourself available to have conversation, mm-hmm. being intentional about the relationship, and also being intentional about not having an agenda. Mm-hmm. So you can just have mm-hmm. conversations. Sit across the table from someone and hear their story. Mm-hmm. And I try to make sure I attend local events as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can meet people from all over this area, but specifically from like Clarkston, Decatur, and Stone Mountain, which is where most of the folks are living.
So let me ask you this. You go to a coffee shop. I know people are listening and they think, well, I can go to a coffee shop. That's easy for me to do. But how do I start a conversation with someone? What does that look like? I mean, that feels awkward to me. To just go mm-hmm. to a coffee shop, I'm sitting there having my coffee. What's next?
There's more coming up with today's host, Sandy Floria, and her guests, Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass, right after this.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
I know people are listening and they think, well, I can go to a coffee shop. That's easy for me to do. But how do I start a conversation with someone? What does that look like? I mean, that feels awkward to me to just go to a coffee shop. I'm sitting there having my coffee. What's next?
That's a great question. And one of the things that I was going to mention is since I've been working for a local church, it's not in Clarkston.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beautiful thing about the experience in Clarkston is it serves as a model for how you can do ministry where you are.
Right.
Even with meetings that I have and encouraging people to live in the margin, because it's so easy in the local church to get into the habit of, okay, this is Bible study night, it's small group night, we have Sunday morning service, and so just this typical traditional church structure. But living in the margin, it's a lot of intentionality, as Sonia mentioned. And so even in coffee shops where the particular churches that I serve in and having meetings there, it's paying attention to who's in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's asking a question about what they're drinking, or if they have on a particular thing that you haven't seen before, an article of clothing. It's being intentional about making eye contact, about smiling, about speaking to people, about pausing just to see where they are. But if you run into a place and we're in a hurry and we don't have time to look at the people that are there, then oftentimes we miss those opportunities. So being intentional about being there and seeing people, oftentimes the Lord will just show you something and a question will come up. But being willing to just ask a simple question about how they're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something about asking that question, looking into the eyes of the person you're asking that question to, that says, I see you and I want to hear your answer.
Right.
Not this, oh yeah, I'm good and I'm going.
Yeah, I'm fine.
One of the things that I am intentional about is every place that I go to, I go and meet the owner. The first day I go, I order something and find out who the owner is. And most times it's the person behind the counter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I spark up conversations. Like the other day, there was a place that someone told me about. So I went and had a coaching session there. And before we left, I asked him about the space and about what other services they offer, because they do catering and his wife makes cakes. So I found out he and his wife's name. And so I just start asking, show interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
In their business, and then I add them to my list. And there's literally, I have a list of like 25 places on it now, and I send it out to all of the staff at GFM. So when you're having your meetings, these are some places that you can go to, and this is the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So go in and introduce yourself, tell them who you are, and it's expanding your community by including people that are already in the community.
That's a very practical way to do outreach without doing outreach, basically.
Right, exactly.
Not it looking like you're doing outreach. Well, I want to turn a little corner here because I want to get caught up on what's happening back in Africa. I know you guys left a lot of stuff back there running and going. And I remember a conversation that we had briefly about a year ago when you were saying that they were asking you, what do we do next? What do we do? And you were telling them, you can do this without us. Just keep doing it. So how is it going in Isiolo? What's happening there? And give us a little update on what's happening back in Africa.
That is a great question. And it's probably one of the things that gives me the greatest joy. Things are continuing in Africa.
That's exciting.
It is, even as we remain here. So during the time that the questions were posed, okay, what do we do? What's next? As we encouraged the leaders there in Isiolo to continue, they did continue and continued with the curriculum. And they were faithful to meeting together and to going out into different villages and going out with Timothy's. And the last report we got, we're in our fifth generation of church planters.
Wow.
They don't need us. They have who they need, and that's the Lord. They continued with that particular semester. That class has now graduated. Those graduates have Timothy's and Titus's that they're leading, and churches are being planted, or fellowships rather, because of course we've already talked about the fact that our desire was never to build a church, but to build a people. And we've just recently received videos of some of the newest church plants, and you can see the acacia trees in the background.
That's exciting.
And you can see the river, and they're rejoicing and celebrating and just happy about Jesus, and they're just there mm-hmm. in creation. That class has graduated, and they're in process of recruiting for the next class.
Wow.
And they're so encouraged just to share the gospel and to see how those villages and communities are changing just because their worldview is being changed by the gospel. Mm-hmm. The church planting is continuing. The school is there, and they're functioning and leading themselves without waiting on us to do it.
Why is it important for them to continue this work without you there?
That's probably the most important thing. That says to us that they have not modeled themselves after us as Westerners, mm-hmm. that we have literally gotten out of the way, and they're doing this because of their love and their relationship with Christ, that they have actually caught the vision for making disciples who make disciples, mm-hmm. which is exactly what Jesus told us to do.
Right.
If they waited on us, that means they would be looking to people, which would be the two of us. Mm-hmm. They're not looking to us. They're looking to the Lord as their provider, which is exactly what we wanted. Our prayer when we initially went to Kenya and even to Isiolo was, Lord, we want you to be glorified so much so that they don't see us, they see you. Mm-hmm. And as long as they see you, then they'll follow you and do what your commands say. Mm-hmm. So that's the greatest joy that I have out of the ministry. As much as I miss it and as much as I want to be there, the truth of the matter is I'm not needed there. And that's a wonderful thing because they're doing, with whatever challenges that they have, they're doing life together. Mm-hmm. They're still fellowshipping. They're still encouraging each other. And the churches are evolving within the cultural context that they can understand. They're not trying to create little Western churches.
That's the thing that's so beautiful about it, is that it fits who they are. They're not
Absolutely.
Trying to be someone that they're not, and because they don't know how to be Americans mm-hmm. or Westerners. So that's perfectly fine.
Absolutely. God receives more glory when the church looks like the culture in which it was planted in. Because God created us all.
Yeah. Say that again. I love that.
God receives more glory when the church looks like the culture in which it was planted in. Mm. Because when we look at Revelation 7 and 9, it says, all nation, all tribe, all people, all language. That means there's distinct differences mm-hmm. that give him glory when that comes into fruition. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what I believe that God would desire. He receives more glory. We see more of who he is by seeing his church evolve and grow into the culture.
Well, and I think that's been a real paradigm shift in the missions community over the last probably 20, 25 even 30 years or so, because before it was different. In some ways, they would try to westernize the cultures where a lot of the missionaries were serving. So that is a whole different way to look at things, in that we want to honor the things about their culture that we're able to honor. And
absolutely. I think about a particular worship service we were in Isiolo, and there were probably five different tribes represented. And a group of the Maasai mm-hmm. were there. And of course, they're known for hunting lions and for their ability to jump. We're in this worship service, and I'm just taken away by all of the languages that I hear that are literally worshiping the Father. Mm. As we're in worship, I hear this thumping, thump, thump, thump. And I look around, and the Maasai are jumping.
Oh, wow.
And they're jumping in order to give God glory. And I think that is one of the most beautiful expressions that I've seen of what heaven is going to be mm-hmm. like. Just worshiping out of the full expression of who God created us to be.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. We'll hear more of this conversation next time. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.